Well, here we are.
We can't start it like that.
Here we are. No, I'm just kidding. Well, it's time for another interview. I feel like, Leah, it's been a hot minute since we've had some interviews.
I was thinking that while we were interviewing. I was like, damn, it's been like a month.
I know, because we had vacations and then all those
we had vacations.
We had vacations. We didn't have schedules lined up, but it's all right. We're back into motion. And trust me, our inbox has plenty of interviews lined up, yes, ready to go. So it's please remember your thankless scheduler, Leah Jones.
Your friendly neighborhood admin.
Yeah, your friendly neighborhood admin. But yeah, we're talking with Alicia Blue. She's really awesome. I really love her songwriting style. Let me just say that out of the gate. And we talk about her songwriting style in the interview. But she has a new EP out, Inner Child Work, that just dropped on Friday. You're going to hear plenty of interruptions from my dogs because I'm watching a dog named Toby. He's very cute. But Rhodey has, as we discussed, a short man syndrome and doesn't like that a bigger dog is trying to play with his toy. So you'll hear that. I'm probably going to leave him in for comedic effect because that's the kind of person I am. Other than that, I'm Beth Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And this is She Will Rock You. Where are they getting a dub in a CPS executive meeting?
No. Bitch, don't touch my thermostat.
The ghost be like, hold up, before I haunt you, let me turn down the thermostat.
Who is this man?
We're on page one, guys.
This is She Will Rock You.
So today I am here with Alicia Blue. How's it going, Alicia?
I'm good. I am just hanging. It's supposed to, I know it's raining by you, but waiting for the storm to roll through Nashville.
Oh yeah,
have fun.
We had a nice big storm. My power went out twice at my job. Unfortunately, didn't stay out, but that's okay. But yeah, it was a nice one. So my first question is, you know, reading your bio that your PR team was so kind to send over to us, you know, I know you originally wanted to be a soul singer, but you had this really awesome like 3-year opportunity to be the caretaker of the late Malcolm Clark Hayes Jr. Tell me all about that experience and how it led to where you are today.
Wow, it's quite a
it's a big one out of the gate. Usually yeah. I do, what's your musical journey up to this point? But then I read your bio and I'm like, fuck, we're starting with that question.
Yeah. No, I get it. So the question is what was that like, right? Like hanging out with Malcolm, right?
Yeah. Receiving wisdom and how it directed your path, like to go in this folk direction you're in now.
Yeah. So since I was a teenager, was obsessed with, you know, Bob Dylan and Joan Baez, never really thought like I could be a musician or anything like that. And I was a very kind of nurtured by my high school English teacher. And I was like, okay, I'll grow up and be an English teacher. And then when I started studying English in college, I was like, okay, I'm going to be a famous poet one day. That was just like flipped, right? So I'll be a writer. And then in my last year of college, I met Malcolm. And I was obviously a huge music fan, as most humans are. But I met him in this hapchance sort of way on a rainy Christmas Eve. And he was in a wheelchair and needed some help around the house. And which was like a teeny tiny studio apartment in Hollywood. And it's actually above like this really cool hip venue called Harvard and Stone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it wasn't like hip back then yet. It was just becoming hip. Mm-hmm. And so I was helping him out, like cleaning his little studio because he was for the most part wheelchair bound. And I found all these old records and cassette tapes with his name on them and like was like, this is you, no way. You know, I don't think I'd ever hung out with like a real professional musician yet, like someone who was like had, you know, like his name was on and face was on vinyl, right? I was like, whoa, I'm sitting with the horse's mouth. So I took it home and listened and I couldn't believe it, and I was like, dude, you sound like Marvin Gaye meets, you know, Jackie Wilson. Could you teach me how to sing? I came back like the next week to help him out, And he was like, "What? You want to learn how to sing? No, you don't want to learn how to sing. That's like the hardest thing in this world is music and the music business. You don't want to learn it." And then I was like, "No, I can, you know, like teach me, because then I can like use my words and put them into songs," which I think I always thought, like, whatever Bob Dylan was doing or what songs did that I liked, like, you know, The Hurricane by Bob Dylan was like a true story and could make you think. I was like, God, if I could do that with my poems, and just kind of like get in people's heads in like a 3-minute song, that's so much more digestible and easier than staying in like some literary world as a poet only on paper.
Sorry, my dog decided to bark
no
at
worries.
The end of it, because he's barking at the lab because the lab probably took his toy. That's been a thing this week.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, but no, that's really cool. I mean, that's like one of those, like, it's almost written in like a Hollywood style story, you know, like the caretaker and into the music. So that's just a really cool origin story altogether. I know we're talking a little bit about folk, but besides music artists, where else do you find inspiration?
Film, I think some film. I love classic film. I can't say I spend a ton of time nowadays watching film all the time, but I try to. Yeah, I feel like some of the old narratives too, like, just like, I think I watched The Long Hot Summer with Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward a few weeks ago again. And I just feel like the kind of tale of maybe an outcast who's really kind of an angel underneath, you know, is like really sexy and fascinating to me as a narrative.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I love old film too, because I think you can find some really cool like dialogue gems, if you will, because they did such a great job of like building their sentences and crafting, you know, a whole scene. So I could definitely see that appealing.
You're totally right about that.
Yeah, I could totally see that appealing from poetry. So I know we talked a little bit about it, how you're originally from California. Now you're in Nashville. What would you say is like, what do each of those music scenes bring to the table?
They're very different. They're both really cool. But I would say the LA music scene has a really sweet thing going on the east side. It's pretty not commercial. It's not like a machine. And I think maybe in LA, like the pop circle is, which I wasn't really like some pop machine, you know, and super indie rock. And I feel like just about the time I was leaving LA, and I felt like I was part of it, not per to say the reason why, but I felt like there was a folk and singer songwriter scene really kind of just blossoming. And it's right now it's kind of like really just getting a lot more gigantic, and like even Americana stuff, which you know, I have like some of my hand in my own music in that world a bit too. And then I feel like in Nashville, there is kind of a mechanism or more of a machine that's also involved though in like the cool regular people human scene, right? Like it's not this big scary machine. Mm-hmm. There is a machine with really cool, awesome regular humans and characters you're going to encounter. So I feel like does that make sense what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
kind of, there's like totally a division in LA. Yeah.
Yeah, there's more division in LA. There's more like uniqueness, I think, you can come across in Nashville. Like you were saying, characters and, you know, people who are maybe experimenting a little bit more with music.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I also say, like, you know, in LA, like I've met some gems and like there's been incredible moments, but insane talent everywhere you go and like a shit ton of ambition. But I feel like in Nashville, you find this like awesome, insane talent, great ambition, but with this like grounded, warm-heartedness. And like, that's just so yummy to me. I love it. And that's pretty much why I'm here.
That's really cool. Yeah, I could see that, like Nashville, like especially because Nashville, I feel like it's becoming the new transient city. So yeah. Like people from, you know, everywhere, like Midwest, South, they're all coming there. So I could definitely see how that heart comes through.
Yeah.
In that city. Well, you do have an EP coming out here called Inner Child Work. When's that releasing, by the way?
It actually came out Friday. Last
Friday. Oh, Friday. Oh, so let me rephrase. You have an awesome EP that just came out on Friday.
Yeah.
That's super cool. And I want to talk about two songs on there, your singles, Dog Days in LA and Saline Waters. You know, I was listening to them today and watching the music videos for them. And each of these songs have a really cool, soft and smooth music flow with these really like striking lyrics. So I'm wondering, like, when you're creating these songs for your EP, like, did you have like an overarching message or song structure you were building, or did you like take time to craft each one as it came along?
I definitely think I crafted each one as it came along completely. Each song is like a world of its own in my process. But I think maybe like what you're feeling like is like the through line, like, right. You're like this like vibey thing, but with these like maybe a little more upfront lyric. I think that's kind of just like my, I was just talking to a producer the other day and like my thing is, sorry, there's a really loud cicada. Right?
Oh, you're good. Like, cicadas for you, dogs for me.
I was just telling a producer, like the way the music business is right now, a lot of people will say stuff like everything sounds the same. And like, and I think that probably happens in every generation where people don't realize like everything, there's a movement, right, for every generation. So it has a similar flavor, but let's like pretend that is true nowadays. And I was saying, like, I think, you know, that can freak you out as an artist, cause you want to stand out, but you also like if you go completely left field is like nobody gonna listen, because you're not relevant, you're not in context with what is quote-unquote digestible, right? So but what I was telling the producer is I feel like I have this really lucky thing where like my lyrics are the through line. It's not the production, it's not the vibe, it's like what I'm saying. So I can feel like I can like wear whatever outfit feels right, you know, and not saying that's I'm choosing it because of what everyone else is doing or I'm trying to be different, but like I just like to like make the music match the lyrics. And I think why people come to me are the lyrics, so that's kind of like my safe zone, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Would you say there's like either a song or even a lyric itself, like a lyric stanza, that when you think about your EP you're like, this is like the whole enchilada, this sums up what I've been trying to get out?
That's such a great question. I wish you texted me that before we started this. No, let me think. On this EP, is there one line? I feel like maybe on Saline Waters. What is that? I can't remember my words right now, but I feel like the first verse when feeling like, oh yeah, grudges are fossils from feeling no love, feeling like a superhero when I was. So just like that kind of dichotomy in life when we're like just traveling through life and like misunderstandings lead to suffering and misperceptions and like hurt, right? And like, you know, people do like treat you like shit sometimes, and sometimes it was like the way you're some people's mothers or some people's friends or fathers or siblings, right? Like you go through trauma and then I feel like, so that causes distortion in you, and you like, you walk around your like life misperceiving reality. And then you're like treated with this abundance of love by certain people, sometimes the same people, that, and that's also confusing. But when you're treated with love, you're just like weightless and completely whole and like in reality. So I feel like that's the whole record is like, okay, here I am, like distorted and then clean and whole all in one. I feel like that's kind of, and like, I need a lot of space to like, to arrive there, to like,
sure,
see the distortion with clarity and then arrive at something clean with clear eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like taking the listener through a journey. Like you have to have the, it's almost like a thesis. You got to have the statement and you need to explore why it's there.
Totally.
Yeah. That's really cool. I really like that perspective on it. Now, besides your EP release, which, you know, pretty big deal in and of itself. Do you have any upcoming shows or any other projects you have lined up?
Yeah. I have maybe some more music coming out. Hence this EP was called Inner Child Work Part One. So, so we have something cooking for new releases coming. And then, I will be getting to tour this fall, the record. And, I believe that's going to start with a small tour with that band, The Districts. If you know them, if you don't, they're fucking amazing. Their last record, The Great American Painting, is so awesome. So yeah, that starts at the end of fall. And then I think there'll be some like Nashville, LA shows, like local stuff cooking.
Sweet. Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's exciting. So I'll make sure to check by your website around the fall, because if you're coming to Virginia, let us know. We definitely
I absolutely will. Yeah.
Definitely. Yes. Well, we do have a lightning round question that is ceremonial here, if that's the best word I can think of to describe it. But before we get to that, where can people find you?
Just at Alicia Blue Music, one word. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. And then aliciablue.com and just Alicia Blue for all the streaming. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. First question, which isn't on here. Is that a picture of Joni Mitchell behind you?
Oh, yes, it is.
What an eye.
Yeah. A hawk.
She's like also a friend of mine because she just had like a surprise concert yesterday. She just showed up at a folk festival.
At Newport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is
crazy.
Were you there? No, I wish I was.
No, we just saw clips of it.
I watched like all day. So I was just like, okay.
It was just such a random thing to wake up to. I was like, didn't believe it at first.
I know. And did you see the clip of her playing guitar?
I haven't yet. I haven't had time to sit and watch it. But after this, I will reward myself with watching it.
1,000.
Amazing. Okay, actual questions I have written down. What is the best birthday party you've ever had?
Ooh. I think my best friend Tammy took me to this place in LA that's an awesome secret that I'm about to tell the world right now, called Switzer Falls. And it's like this just really shockingly deceitfully close to the city, but like canyon, waterfall, mountain. Ooh. Like total, it's crazy that it's that close to LA, on the east side. And so yeah, she invited a bunch of friends and like had food and drinks, and it was like we were sitting by a waterfall celebrating my birthday, and then it just like lasted all night in the woods. It was so fun.
That sounds so magical. What is an unpopular opinion that you will defend until the end of time?
Ooh. Astrology is science.
Mm. That's probably true. One of my favorite quotes is mystic is just science that hasn't been discovered yet.
Mm. Same thing, yeah.
If what the sign, Marvel Universe has
what sign
anything,
are you guys?
I'm a Taurus.
Mm.
Aries.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah, it's a fun best friendship for sure.
You have such Taurus vibes. It's amazing.
Me?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that. Oh, well, you know, got to keep it casual. Got to keep it
grounded,
straight and narrow.
Yeah, and like you have no bullshit. Yeah.
That's
you
absolutely correct.
Last week, we had a guest that was an Italian Taurus. So there were two of them in the Zoom room. And I'm just like.
Two New York Italian Tauruses. It's a party, let me tell you.
It's like I'm hanging out on The Sopranos.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's like that.
Let me tell you, if we weren't 500 miles away, I'd go to her house and get out the wine and hang out for a couple of hours.
Yeah. You sound like someone I'd want to hang out with too. So
well, you're more than welcome to. What's your sign?
I'm a Pisces, but I am a Taurus rising.
Oh, nice. So there you go. There's that little connection point.
Yeah. We're like all in a row here.
Yeah. And then Aries, you're just like so much fun. I feel like. Yes.
I'm a triple Aries. It's great.
Oh my God. That's incredible. Mm-hmm.
It makes all those like Twitter things that are like, choose your outfit based on your sign. Really boring because three of the four are always going to be the Aries option.
Red.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's red. Here's another red.
Basically.
I love it.
It's very boring. For our final question, it's the one that we ask everyone who comes on the show. If you were a cereal, what would you be and why?
Okay. So I'm going to go with longevity. So like something that's going to be consistent for my taste buds and everyone else's, probably something like a slightly sweet cornflake or something like that. Like not as sugary as Frosted Flakes, but like a healthy.
Kind of like the Honey Bunches of Oats flakes.
Yeah, something something almondy. Yeah, something like that. Like sweet enough. Yeah.
Just enough to get by.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
I can see that.
Well, Alicia, this has been such a fun interview. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed the show. Special thanks to Death of Fawn for our intro riff. You can visit our website at shiorakyu.com. There you can find links to our socials, the show notes, and you can reach out to us and contact us. And remember, don't do drugs.